Welcome to How to Study in Germany, the podcast that guides international students through the exciting journey of studying abroad. From navigating student life to overcoming challenges, we are here to help make your experience in Germany unforgettable. Tune in for real stories, valuable insights, and everything you need to thrive as an international student. Today we have Rakay as our guest, originally from the vibrant and diverse country of Pakistan. Rakay is a student of management and entrepreneurship, and he is already putting his skills into action with his own company, helping people land their dream jobs. In this episode, Rakay will not only share his journey to Germany, but also reveal a few insider tips for crafting better job applications. So Rakay, it's really nice to meet you, and let's start by getting to know you better. Could you tell us a bit about yourself? Where are you from? What are you studying? And what led you to Germany?
Yeah, absolutely, Maria. Thank you for having me on. I'm Rakay. I'm from Pakistan originally. I spent about 6 years in Turkey before this, where I did my bachelor's. And then this was sort of the natural next step for me to come to Germany. I'm doing my master's here in management and entrepreneurship.
What motivated you to study in Turkey initially?
In Turkey initially. So honestly, it wasn't my first choice, uh-huh. If I'm being honest. But it's also the easiest place to go to. And it was almost like a stepping stone to then be able to reach better places in the future. And so coming to Germany from Turkey is a lot easier. If I had to directly come to Germany from Pakistan, there's visa issues, etc. But yeah, so that's why. But then it turned out to be an amazing experience, even though I had not expected it. But then, yeah, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have studied in both Turkey and Germany a little mm-hmm. bit for now. Mm-hmm. But how do these two experiences compare, like academically, culturally, socially?
Uh-huh. I do feel like I really fit right in Germany here. Like I have found everyone I've met so far has been so amazing. And I feel like it's actually the people that make the place. So I have just had the most amazing people around me so far. And it's just been 2 months, but overwhelmingly amazing experience. Turkey was also great. But at the same time, you know, I always felt like I needed more freedom because you don't really completely fit in to a place where there's a bit more of a language barrier. So Turkey, there's more of a language barrier than there is here. Everyone, even though I'm in a small city like Lüneburg, almost everyone I met knows English. I can communicate with them. I don't need to know German to be able to speak with them. But in Turkey, I basically had to learn Turkish. And yeah, I eventually did. But yeah, that was sort of a bit of a difficult start in the beginning. And also academically, I would say Germany takes its education a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
So my course in bachelor's was super easy. Like I did a lot of other things in my bachelor's. I started a university society. I socialized a lot. I went out as much as I could. I traveled a lot. And yeah, I just made as many connections as possible. And I was able to do that because my course itself did not require that much studying. So it gave me the time to do that, which is also a benefit in one way, because I feel like, you know, in university, you can actually do all these other things. And that's also what university is for, not just studying. Mm-hmm. But here, now I'm at Leuphana in Germany. And definitely the studies are a bit more, I would say, serious. You need to work to get the grade.
Okay, can you tell us, what are you studying here at Leuphana?
Yeah, management and entrepreneurship. Fancy.
Do you like it so far already?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think some of the courses are actually really related to what entrepreneurship is in real life. And that's mm-hmm. what I really appreciate, because they can actually be applied to real life scenarios. I mean, sure, there are always some courses that's just completely theory based and you don't find any practical rhyme or reason with them. But mm-hmm. yeah, most of them are really good. And also the professors are really nice so far.
Just question from me. Do you study there in accounting or finance, or it's just basically the entrepreneurship and theory about it?
No, it does include finance. We don't have accounting courses, but we have a corporate finance course, which is very, very finance intensive. Yeah, very advanced financial stuff. Yeah, that's one of the courses that might not be super extremely relevant for at least beginning entrepreneurs, but then maybe in the future if I own like a 100,000 person company, then I might need that. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moving to the question about learning German language. Mm-hmm. How it's going so far?
Wow. difficult question and difficult language. I mean, I wish I spent more time on learning German. It's already been over two months now. And yeah, I don't know much, basically. I have an A1 course. And mm-hmm.
Here at Lefana, right?
Yeah, at Lefana. And the teacher's amazing. Everyone's great. But the only way you actually learn is if you take time out for yourself and you put in the discipline and the consistency to learn something. It works the same way with anything, right? And also, that's how I learned Turkish. That's how you learn any skill. I learned how to play the piano. And like, mm-hmm. no matter how many courses I got from the teacher, if I didn't go home and spend half an hour every day to learn it myself, I would never learn it. So that's, yeah, the same with German, is that I'm not spending that time on my own because I just can't find the time right now. But mm-hmm. When I do, yeah, meet me in 1 year and I will have German at least B2, hopefully.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
So I know that you are not just a student, you are also running your own business. Can you tell us what your business is all about?
I am, yes. So it's very interesting being an entrepreneur with also being a student. So my business is called Silver Lining, Silver Lining Careers to be exact. And what we do is we help people land their dream remote jobs in under 90 days. And this could be in different sectors, tech, marketing, sales, finance. So we've had people from all across. And really, we help people in three core areas of their job application process. Mm-hmm. So most of the people who come to me struggle with landing interviews. And in order to land interviews, you need good assets, which is good CV, cover letter, LinkedIn profile that you use to apply. And then number two, you need a good application process that actually shows these assets to the recruiters, makes you seen to the recruiters. So not just applying to jobs, not just clicking easy apply and spamming like 50 applications, but actually sitting down and doing quality applications over quantity. And then also reaching out to the recruiters, reaching out to the hiring managers, sending them emails. So all of these things are what we help with. We actually tell you what exactly to do, who to reach out to, what to say, and how to make your applications high quality. So that's the first part. And then the second big struggle that we have with most of our candidates is that when they get the interview, then they struggle with converting the interview into an offer. So people might have 5, 6, 7 interviews, but it keeps turning into rejections. And it's also very demotivating for people, right? Like if you face so many rejections, you end up thinking maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm not deserving of a job, but it's not that. It's really, you just need to understand how to convince the recruiter or the hiring manager on the other end and what are they expecting from you. So if you understand that, you can really easily turn the tables and get control of the conversation. And that's something that we help with as well. So overall, yeah, I would say from beginning to the end, everything you would need in your job application process, we do it as Silver Lining.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
But what inspired you to start this venture?
So amazing question. I would love to talk about this. So Silver Lining, I started this business in May of this year. Okay, but I've had the idea for the name Silver Lining since I was in high school because it just meant something to me from a very long time. And I've always been the kind of person who, has generally had a relatively good life. You know, I've not had very big issues in life and I've always been a big believer in there's always that silver lining behind every dark cloud. Things can always get better, right? Mm-hmm. So that's always been sort of my mindset. And then in my high school, I wanted to start a business that was actually aimed towards helping youth of our generation with their, let's say, mental health issues or talking about, them being able to talk to someone their age, etc. So that was supposed to be the original silver lining. I didn't end up doing that because it was high school. I got distracted, moved on to other things. Mm-hmm. But I always kept that name. I was like, I need to do something with silver lining. And also, the other reason is I always wanted to do something of my own. So start a business of my own. And then I've spent the last 2-3 years thinking, what could it be? What can I do now? Where can I provide the most value? And then it just suddenly hit me that the one thing that people ask me the most about is how to get a better job, how to get a remote job. And the reason why they asked me is because I got my first remote job in my second year of university. So it's almost like if you got a really good opportunity really early on, all of your friends around you are like, hey, how did you do that? Can you tell us what we can do as well? Because we also want that, right? And I was actually able to help those people for free. I told them, hey, this is what you can do. This is the process. Follow that and you would get interviews, you would get job offers. And they did. And I was like, hey, maybe I know something that not a lot of people do, you know? So I actually formalized that this year. And I was like, that's going to be my business. That's going to be what I start working on. And yeah, the stars aligned, I guess. And I made it happen, took action.
That is a very good idea. Yeah. And as far as I know, like in Germany, there's not that many companies that provide such services.
Honestly, across the world, there's not a lot of companies like that. There are a few. There's one competitor I know of in the UK, but they focus on the UK market. So not big issues for me. There are a lot of people who do single freelance services like CV reviews, or we'll make your CV for you, we'll make your cover letter for you. And then the other kind of business that's out there is recruitment agencies. So what they do is they work with businesses. So they will hire candidates for businesses and they get paid by the business. So they're not focused on the candidate. They don't really care about the candidate that much or what kind of process they go through. It's like a hit or miss. So the candidate might get something, might not get something. So when we're applying, you know, when I tell my clients to apply to jobs, I almost tell them, don't even bother applying to recruitment agencies because they're getting thousands of candidates every day. They're going to handpick some which work for their clients. They're just going to give the business the ones that work for them. Sure. So they don't really care about you that much. So this is more of a personalized, I work with you as a candidate rather than the business side of things.
But do you concentrate only on German market or Europe job market?
So really, at this point, I haven't niched down that much. So I started off with Turkey as my primary market. But because I am from Pakistan, I had a lot of Pakistani clients. I had some people in the Middle East. I have definitely had people in Germany and Europe. And I want to lean into the European market a lot more. I think that's going to be my niche in the near future. But I still have some clients from other areas of the world as well, which I'm slowly starting to move to Europe now.
How do you think your studying of entrepreneurship here at Leifana can help you in managing business? Because we all know that many businessmen, they haven't even finished university, but they still can pursue very much in their career, business career. What do you think about it?
You know, the most common thing you would hear from entrepreneurs who have dropped out of university is that university does not teach you anything about real world business, right? That's what the common narrative is these days. It's just like, yeah, you finish high school, just go start your own business. No need to get a degree. And to some extent, I have always believed in that as well, because I feel like university degrees maybe are not as important as people used to think, right? Maybe in the 70s, 80s, in the previous century, they used to be the thing that you need to get somewhere in life, like what our parents had to go through. But for us, you do have a lot more options. Even if you don't have a university degree, you can actually do so much with your life. We have cell phones, we have internet, we have everything that we would need to do whatever we want. So starting a business is almost free these days as well. However, I do think university plays a very important role. So the first one is academically. In this university, specifically in my entrepreneurship program, there's a course called Entrepreneurial Psychology. And just based on my own entrepreneurial experience, also what I've learned from other entrepreneurs, courses I've taken, and real world stuff, I can tell you they're teaching the exact same stuff here. So if you have no knowledge before of entrepreneurship and you go to the entrepreneurial psychology course and you actually learn about how you need to think about entrepreneurship and how you need to think about things when you're running a business, and also what factors affect your success in business based on your really just your mental skills. And you learn about these things. This is just sort of me saying to, if there are people listening from Leifana who might be studying that course, is that that's actually real stuff. That's the most realistic course I've ever taken related to entrepreneurship. However, there are other courses that I'm taking that might not help me with my entrepreneurship ever. right? Like I'm taking a corporate finance course, or I'm taking a course on organization and strategy. Mm-hmm. Like these are okay courses, and there are some similarities, but most of them you would say, hey, this is not really relevant, right? So what we learned in the entrepreneurial psychology course, the main crux of the entire course, if I had to like put it all down into two words, it's take action. And so for all the future entrepreneurs out there, the best way you can actually learn about entrepreneurship is by doing entrepreneurship. You can't read a book on it and say you know how to do it. You can't just keep thinking about the idea forever. You have to put it into action, and that's when you start learning, oh, this is what real entrepreneurship looks like.
Yeah, and on the other hand, the basic thing that university teaches us is just discipline and time management, because to be entrepreneurship is basically the freelance. You have to somehow divide your time, schedule everything.
That is so right. I can tell you that's definitely, you know, a point I'd like to agree on 100%. Like the amount of time management I'm having to do these days, because yeah, you're doing two things at once.
Yeah.
Managing your university courses alongside the things you have to do for your business. So my calendar is my best friend right now. I could not live without it, because I need to make sure that I know when I need to do what and everything is planned. And that's a skill that not a lot of people actually know how to do. I mean, Germany, I found that it's quite a big part of their culture to plan things and to time manage. But where I'm from, like Turkey, Pakistan, these places, they don't even use calendars like ever, you know. So unless they're forced to in their work, they don't use their calendar. So I would say like that's obviously one of the biggest benefits of being in university.
Mm-hmm. Still, with so much on your plate, any other tips? How do you manage your time between the studies and your own business?
I would say the biggest tip I have is to not judge yourself if you fail, if you miss things, if you have to sacrifice some things, because you're a human being. You only have 24 hours in the day. And some things are always going to be left behind. You have to make that difficult choice at some point, right? Like there might be a party happening in the evening, but there might also be some client calls you need to take for your business at the same time. And you have to miss the social stuff. You have to tell your friends you can't be there. You have to make those slightly more difficult decisions, which you might think, hey, I'm in university. Why am I even, you know, why should I care? I can do these things later. But if you're really ambitious about entrepreneurship, then you have to make those sacrifices. And that's sort of like a cliche example, but I would say it might even happen with other things. Like you might have a course that you just have to miss that day because there are some more important things. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you decide that the course is more important and your business can wait. Completely fine. It's up to you. But that's what the idea is. You have to be fine with the choices you make to trade off some of the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can learn time management. You can learn all those techniques. There's a really great book called Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martel.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who wants to know how to get better at their time management skills, or where to allocate their time and what can they do with their time that would be the most productive, they should definitely read that book. That's been so helpful for me in learning that skill of time management and how to buy back your time and feel like you have more time than you do. So that's one sort of side advice. But I would say primarily, like, just take it easy. I mean, things happen. You know, you have one life. We're all going to die at the end. I mean, it sounds a bit negative, but, you know, I'm a big believer of that, right? Focus on what keeps you at peace as well. Focus on your values, like decide what they are for the first thing. Most people don't even know what their values are.
Mm-hmm.
Have a clear set of values. These are my number one, number two, number three priorities in life. And then you can make every decision based on that. So for example, if I just give my own example, my top three values are relationships, number one. Number two is my business and my goals. And number three is my health. It's in that order. And that's what I've decided for myself.
That's very good order.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for someone else, it might be a different order. But whatever your priorities are, just decide that. And then every time you make a decision, so every time I have to choose to go out with a friend, to build that relationship over spending time on my business, I know that I'm following my values. It's not that I am sacrificing. I won't be stressed about it anymore because I know that I'm making the decision that's good for me, right? So maybe I won't make $1 million tomorrow, but I'll have a good relationship with that friend that I won't get anymore, right?
Sure.
So that's how I make these decisions in life. I think that's a very good framework.
In your opinion, is there any rewarding part of being both a student and entrepreneur?
Entrepreneurship, especially if you are out of university, if you're not in a place like this, can be very lonely. You have these goals, you're trying to achieve all of them yourself, right? You're usually a sole owner. You might have one partner, but that's pretty much it. That's your life. You might have employees, but they're not your friends. You know, like you could have a very good culture, but still there's a little bit of a boundary there, etc., right?
Yeah.
But being in university allows me to also have that social aspect of my life and make friends and be around people and hit off those ideas. Like I can learn still from new perspectives every day because I could meet people like you and I could talk to you and I could ask you about things. And these are opportunities that I might not get if I wasn't in university. If I was just running my business all the time, you know, so it ends up being quite lonely because you have to do all this hard work yourself and there's no one really there that cares as much about it as you do. I mean, obviously you care about your business the most. So yeah, so that part of being a student and entrepreneur is so, so amazing. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Especially when you work from home remotely, you have no socialization with anyone, and university gives you that.
Exactly. It's an amazing environment to be in. And also, you know, that's one of the reasons why I would always recommend people to go to university. Like, just
you have to experience this.
You have to experience this. Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah. Moving to the next topic of your future plans. Where do you see your business going in the next few years?
So I have big plans for the business. So one of the things that the business requires from me is to give it my focus and my attention. So if I am doing two or three things at once, like I've up until very recently, I've also been working part-time and in a remote position myself. That's also one of the things I use to convince my clients like, hey, I got remote jobs. Look, I have one, so I can get you one too. But when you're running a business, you kind of got to really just pick one thing and do that, like spend a lot of time on that. So that's what it requires of me to be able to grow it. But then if I'm able to do that, then my plans are that I would definitely be growing in the German market. I want to learn the ins and outs of, you know, everything there is to know about the German job market and, you know, what really it takes for people to get jobs here. For example, in Germany, having a master's degree does set you apart from someone who just has a bachelor's. It's not true everywhere. So, you know, there are these differences in regions that I'd like to get really good at. Already, I know that I knew a lot when I started my business in May, but since then, just by helping people, I've learned so much about this whole process because I've tested all my theories, right? I told people, hey, do that. Then they got results. They got the interviews and I was like, okay, if someone does that, it works, right? So it made that connection in my mind. And that's really the benefit of working with me as well as candidates. Just like I have the experience of these 30, 40, 50 different people so far that I've helped with. And all of them did the work. They got the results. So I can prove to you that, this works, right? So that's what my goal is first to learn as much as I can and then to grow the business in Germany, in Europe. And it will never be thousands of people. That's not my goal. I want it to be a close-knit team and really online businesses can run with smaller teams and that will be my goal.
Do you see Germany as a long-term base for your entrepreneurial endeavors?
Yeah, I think I think Germany is not a bad place. Maybe the taxes are not so friendly. So I haven't done a lot of research, as you can see. But yeah, Germany would be a good place. I think I'm also planning on staying here myself for a long term. Yeah. And then maybe in the future, I move to some other place in Europe. But Europe definitely is the place for
me.
Your
place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the culture. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Okay. What advice would you give to students I guess, not considering moving to Germany, considering searching for the working student position here. Can you maybe tell some small tips, little tips, that maybe some of them do not know about the LinkedIn? Is it connections are that important there?
Sure. Happy to give out some secrets. no, it's good that you're asking me about that. So thank you. Yeah, there's a bunch of things you can do. So again, getting working student positions in Germany, in my experience, is actually not very complicated. You just got to do some simple steps. And if you do the steps, you will get the results. So always try to focus on the work that you need to do rather than staying in your head or thinking, oh, maybe this might be the problem. This might be it. Just do the work and you will get the results. So what is that work? Number one, yes, your LinkedIn profile, your online presence does matter. But even more than that matters how you make your CV or your cover letter and how you customize that for each application. So when you're doing these applications, and I worked with people before, you don't need to apply to 100 companies to get the job you want. It only takes 1, 2, 3 applications per day for clients that work with me to get the results they want. You just have to be consistent. That's important. But every day, just take out 2 hours and focus on improving the quality of the application. If I told you today that you can only apply to 3 jobs today, you cannot apply to any more, but you can spend as much time as you want on those 3 jobs, that's it. So what more could you do for those job applications? How could you improve the quality? So probably what you would do is you would say, hey, let me customize the CV so that it matches the exact job description for this specific role. Let me customize the cover letter so that the company thinks I wrote this just for them. I didn't do this for anyone else. So that's the kind of customization I'm talking about. And then the other thing I would say is people say networking a lot as a buzzword. Networking for me basically in the job market is not just making connections on LinkedIn, but actually reaching out to people and asking asking for opportunities. It's really that if you don't ask, you don't get. It's a very popular saying, but really I've worked in sales for a very long time and I know that it's just about, you know, almost at this point, I just think about it in numbers. It's just about the conversion rates, right? So if you send out 30 emails, you will get one person to tell you, hey, sure, let's jump on a call. Let's discuss your skill set. And that's your interview. That's how you get that. So do the job applications, do them high quality. But when you're networking, reach out to people and actually ask them for the opportunity. Maybe you can reach out to the same people who are hiring for the role you applied for. Just reach out to the recruiter there, etc. This is super important. And again, if you spend more time on it, you can record a video of yourself, just do a 30-second, hey, just wanted to put a face to the name, just applied to your, you know, data scientist role or marketing role, and would love to hear back from you on what the next steps are. Just, you don't need to say anything fancy, just that. But the effort is what counts, because they're going to see the effort. They're going to say, hey, this person made the effort. No one else is doing that. And that's how you can get these opportunities really well. So those would be some of my top tips, I think. Yeah.
I have also the question, just only for me, I'm very curious about it.
Yeah.
When you're writing cover letter, can you use ChatGPT?
the infamous ChatGPT. Yes, you can. So my answer is actually going to be a bit different. So most people are probably going to expect me to say, hey, never use ChatGPT, write it yourself. It's supposed to be high quality. And that's sort of right as well. I always hated the use of AI in this regard, but there's a secret way you can actually make ChatGPT perform a lot better. It's not so much as a secret, it's just a better way of doing it. And it's about the prompt you give it. So what I'd like you to do, and this has worked for so many of my clients, is make a thread to ChatGPT where you give it your goal of what kind of job you want, in which market, which industry, and what the job title might be, what the department might be. So you give it what you want. Then you give it your profile. So you literally copy paste your entire CV into the thread and you say, this is who I am and this is the experience I have. This is the education I have, everything. Everything is on there. Then you also give it the cover letter template. So you can just tell it like, hey, this is what I want the cover letter to generally say or look like, right? And after that, once you've given it the information it needs, so it now knows what job you want, who you are, and how to write the cover letter, then you tell it, hey, this is the job description I'm just applying to. Can you please write a cover letter that's customized for that job description?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly ChatGPT's answer would be so much better than if you had just said, hey, I'm applying to a marketing position. Can you help me write a cover letter, right? So if you do that initial effort, then yes, you can use ChatGPT. And then the answers would be really good. And then even after that, I would say do proofread it. Do change some words. Like if it's using some words that you would never say in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't use the words. Like just use the language that you would actually speak.
Mm-hmm.
In the work life, it's very common to say that you need to have third grade reading level for your English communication. For all marketing communications, for sales communications, we're taught that. And the reason why we're taught that is because people don't have time to understand difficult English. Like they need stuff as easy as possible to be delivered to them. So just make it easy for the reader. Don't use fancy words. Try to take those out of the ChatGPT language. And that is how you would use ChatGPT to actually help you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would actually save you a lot of time because every time you can get a starting point, you would have a good cover letter already written by ChatGPT, and then you can just make a few edits, send it out. So that's how I would use it.
So thank you so much for these tips. I guess it's very helpful even for me and for our listeners.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's been such a pleasure hearing your story and learning about your journey as student and entrepreneur. And I wish you all the best with your business.
Thank you for having me, Maria.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in. You can find all our episodes on our website at podcast.leufana.de, as well as on Spotify and iTunes. Until next time, take care.